You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported,
community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Benedict Jones.
And I'm Erin Wagermiller. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, March 25th, 2019.
I would ban the scooters from the Beeline Trail. I've almost been run over on the Beeline Trail by the scooters, but I think they're great. But no motorized vehicles are supposed to be allowed on the Beeline Trail.
WFHB correspondent Michael Glab speaks with Ron Smith, candidate for District 3 seat on Bloomington City Council, on this week's edition of Big Talk Extra, later in the program.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Leslie Cook talks about her volunteerism with Bloomington Girls Lacrosse on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, your daily headlines.
Bloomington residents, religious leaders, and worshipers gathered yesterday during a memorial for the terrorist attack on a mosque in New Zealand. 50 people were killed in the attack on a Christchurch mosque on March 15th. The Islamic Center of Bloomington held yesterday's vigil after receiving an outpouring of support from area organizations and residents. Katie Burris is a congregant and spokesperson for the Islamic Center of Bloomington.
So actually, we received a lot of messages of support, not just emails, but actual letters. So the day after the attack, when going to the mosque, we had flowers outside. We had multiple letters. We even had a bigger kind of like poster thing with a lot of messages on it. So we received a lot of support from the community, and there were several people from different organizations, different congregations emailing and asking, what can we do? And actually that inspired us to have a memorial. We had planned on actually during our Friday prayer last week, so the day actually of the attack, we held a prayer in remembrance of the victims. But we had planned on, we didn't know exactly what we were planning, but the response from the community was overwhelming, and we decided that we really should have this be a bigger gathering and an interfaith gathering. And so that response kind of led to the formation of this event.
Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton was among eight speakers to address the crowd of over 100 people who gathered on Sunday.
Tonight here in our community, in this hallowed place of worship, we join our Muslim community in a warm embrace. In this packed mosque, full of people from around the world and from just down the block, we take this moment to reiterate the deep appreciation of our entire community for the presence of our Muslim brothers and sisters here, and our solidarity all together, in reaffirming our steady and strong commitment to a purposefully, steadfast, inclusive, and welcoming community.
Mayor Hamilton recalled the murder of Mustafa Ayubi, who was shot in Indianapolis by a gunman shouting anti-Muslim slurs. Ayubi's family members called on the gunman to be prosecuted for a hate crime. Indiana is one of five states without hate crimes legislation. The legislature is currently discussing a proposed hate crimes bill in the State House. That bill was gutted earlier this year by Republicans, who removed demographic categories from the bill. Those categories would have included race, religion, age, and sexual orientation. Seven other speakers presented at the Christchurch Memorial this weekend. They included Rabbi Brian Besser of Beth Shalom, Pastor Bob Whitaker of the Evangelical Community Church, Doug Baker of Story Church, Reverend Mary Ann Macklin of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Bloomington, Reverend Mary Beth Morgan of St. Mark's United Methodist Church, IU Muslim Student Association's Sister Loomis Kabaz, and the Islamic Center of Bloomington's Sister Sharuk Ahmed and Brother Yusuf Noor. Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton thanked the Islamic Center of Bloomington and the speakers.
Thank you to the Islamic Center of Bloomington for opening your doors tonight and every day for us. And thank you all for being each other's shelter tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow. Be well. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Another guidance counselor at a Catholic high school in Indianapolis is being fired after she was outed to the school's administration. Lynn Starkey is the second counselor to be informed her contract will not be renewed for the next school year after her marriage to a woman was outed to Roncalli High School's administration. Starkey worked for Roncalli High School for 39 years, according to the Indy Star. Starkey is expected to have her name added to a wrongful termination lawsuit alongside that of fellow former counselor Shelley Fitzgerald. The Archdiocese of Indianapolis issued the same statement over Starkey's termination as they did over last year's firing of Fitzgerald. Quote, Ms. Starkey is currently in breach of her contract with Roncalli High School because she is in a civil union that is considered contrary to a valid marriage as seen through the eyes of the Catholic Church, unquote. Indiana State Senator J.D. Ford, who made history last year as the state's first openly gay politician to win a seat in the legislature, condemned Roncalli and called into question their taxpayer funding.
You know, for me, it's very concerning that the Roncalli administration is picking and choosing, you know, what to enforce. And in my opinion, because it's state taxpayer dollars, it now becomes the purview of the General Assembly to step in to prevent any further discrimination in any school that receives public funds. Our public taxpayer dollars should not be used to discriminate against any Hoosier because of who they love. Some of the conversation has turned to, well, it's a private school, and so the state has no business telling them what to do, and I wholly disagree with that. If this was truly a private school where no taxpayer dollars are used, if this was a private school with a private contract between an employee and the administration, then they're right. Then I don't have the purview or jurisdiction to insert, you know, my thoughts on this. But that's not the case here. Roncalli is receiving choice scholarship money from our state, and that money is then turned around against students, staff, in this particular case, staff, to either be terminated, to be placed on leave, or to not renew the contract. So I'm just concerned about the situation because I think that this is sending the wrong message to people in our state. And frankly, you know, I think this goes to the larger conversation of the administration cherry-picking who they are enforcing these rules against.
Former Roncalli High School Counselor Starkey has been married to her spouse since 2015. The Indy Star reports she worked alongside Fitzgerald, whose marriage to another woman was outed to school administrators in August.
The Monroe County Solid Waste Management Board wants to live up to its mission of keeping trash out of area landfills. Local composting businesses are looking to promote wider use of their products. The two groups met last week and discussed the composting market. Fable Farms co-owner Ryan Conway said expanding the market for compost will require an educational component. He highlighted the potential for partnering with the City of Bloomington and Monroe County to use compost for soil erosion control and as backfill on construction sites.
It seems to be not as widely known across the Midwest about the various uses for compost in state, county, and municipal services and construction and development projects. There's resources for the educational component available, but I think that by and large that's one of the biggest things. Because, yeah, I mean, topsoil will sell and compost will sell to, you know, urban farmers, urban gardeners, and you know, local small farmers. But there are so many different uses for this stuff that the more we can get people to understand that as being cost competitive with other solutions for, like, erosion control and development backfill, the more people might be interested in the product.
Good Earth owner Ramona Wright said she is actively cultivating other clients for her compost products. She said her business makes more compost than it moves.
Every once in a while we'll get a big IU building that wants compost, like a blend, a soil compost blend that will amend where they tore a building down. They're putting something back up, and it's in the specs to have what our blend is. Mostly, we would like to be able to get the city of Bloomington or Monroe County more interested in using the product, since we feel like what we're doing is almost like a service.
The business owners said they have the capacity to expand their operations, but there are challenges. The biggest, they said, is keeping compost trash-free. Wright said she regularly sees glass bottles, appliance parts, plastic toys, even chunks of concrete and blacktop mixed in with compostable materials. Wright said they hire employees to sift out the trash, which can be costly. Kevin Huntley of Green Earth said he handles too large a quantity to pay for hand sifting. He uses a mechanical sifter. Andrea Abina of Fable Farm said glass and plastics that aren't caught in sifting end up being ground into small pieces and passed into the compost anyway.
That's where the technology fails, because the smaller your particles, the faster you can produce compost. But the downside is that then you have all this trash that is also very small and cannot be separated from the compost.
Kevin Huntley of Green Earth said the solution lies earlier in the process. People need to be aware of what they put where. In 2018, Kessler Consulting concluded that 40% of Monroe County's trash was compostable. Kessler recommended the county consider either creating a composting facility or examine expanding the capacity of existing composting services. County Commissioner Julie Thomas sits on the Solid Waste District Board. She asked the business owners what they thought of the consultant's composting recommendations. Here's Thomas and Andrea Abina of Fable Farms.
I'm just trying to get a take on whether this is a worthwhile endeavor in terms of the potentialities for this actually working. And we clearly know that we're not going to get 40% out, right? We know that that's never going to happen, because we still, I know, have recycled material showing up in trash bags, right? And there's a recycle bin there, but yet it's showing up in trash bags. So, you know, I don't know what percentage we're actually going to get out.
Well, but there's also like a double gain, right? Because I think that if you support all businesses that are here,
right.
I mean, you're supporting local businesses, but
right.
on top of that, you're reducing the amount of waste that's going to the landfill.
Right.
And then there's like the end part of it, which is you can encourage the county and even the state, the region, to
mm-hmm.
start using compost to do remediation that
right.
is really, really
right.
valuable for the environment. And
right.
it's, I mean, it is shown already that if we want to tackle climate change,
mm-hmm.
it's not only about worrying about how are we going to reduce the amount of emissions that we're
right.
generating, but also
right.
sequestering carbon, right? And it's totally proven that applying compost to the soil is the one way in which we can sequester carbon from the air. And so I think that there is, I don't see anywhere where there's a loss here. It's
yeah.
just a win for everyone
yeah.
in all aspects. So I don't see why you wouldn't support it
yeah.
and encourage
yeah.
it.
Bloomington City Council member Isabel Piedmont-Smith also serves on the Solid Waste District Board. She said the city and county could begin by partnering with local composting businesses to use their products at construction sites and park projects. However, Piedmont-Smith and Thomas did not specify any specific projects. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Aaron Wagermiller.
And I'm Benedict Jones. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Ron Smith is running for the District 3 seat on Bloomington City Council for the second time. He lost to Marty Speckler, a one-term member, in 2011. Now he wants to replace another one-termer, Allison Chopra, who is not running this election year. Smith is facing restaurant owner Jim Blinkensdorf in the Democratic Party. No one is running for the Republican primary. Smith's focus is on providing a voice for the East Side's aging population. He joined host Michael Glab on last week's Big Talk. The conversation continues on today's edition of Big Talk Extra.
Let's talk about issues.
All right.
Public transportation.
It's not convenient enough. We're having an issue right now, actually, at the Area 10 Agency on Aging with transportation for individuals to doctor's appointments and non-medical emergency transportation.
Yeah.
There's not enough of it. It's just not enough to get
right.
people to dialysis appointments or
yeah.
to a pre-op surgery appointment. My experience is that's not happening. And so back to kind of the city, one of the things that's I've talked about with a couple of people is that, would you take the city bus to work? And they generally say no. You say, why not? Well, because it's not convenient enough for them. The routes don't work for them,
yeah,
or the time frames don't work for them. And so it makes it really challenging. And I think we have a really BT Access and Bloomington Transit. They're a very fine group, but it's just somehow still not working. So that would be an area that we want to look at and try to think about how it can better meet people's needs.
Scooters. Got any ideas on these scooters?
The yin and yang for me. I would ban the scooters from the Beeline Trail.
Ah.
I've almost been run over on the Beeline Trail by the scooters, but I think they're great. But certain areas, there's no motorized vehicles are supposed to be allowed,
yeah,
on the Beeline Trail. And they come whizzing by, and there's families walking, there's little kids walking, there's elderly citizens walking, and I just don't think they're appropriate there. But as far as mostly every other place, I think it's really pretty cool.
What about where they're left?
That's an issue that seems to have been alleviated somewhat by both companies.
Well, we'll see, because the season is coming up.
Right.
We're going to find out whether these new ideas and regulations help.
Yeah. And there, I think the city missed an opportunity early on to give them some more parameters right up front. So I was working in Indianapolis when they began dropping them off in Indianapolis.
Right.
And that was at least 6 months or a year before Bloomington.
Yeah.
I saw that, and it was the same problems that Bloomington saw. It was they were leaving them everywhere on, so people might trip on them. And why we didn't see that and take a lesson from there, I don't know. But we should have probably taken a lesson from them and put some restrictions on them before it got to be a mess.
How about the soon-to-be-vacated IU Health Bloomington Hospital campus?
I was a blank slate until I went to the Bloomington Restorations, Inc. meeting where Mark Cornett, yes, discussed, and he's a proponent of new urbanism.
The architect, yes.
The architect, yes. I didn't exactly know how to think about that. What do you do with an area like that? What do you do with a big building like that? What do you do with that? Mark opened my eyes in a way that let's use the existing historical development, the way the city has developed neighborhoods out there. Why don't we just start using the same grid system that was historical in Bloomington and make that out there and put that in place so that we have multiple different businesses. We have smaller homes that people maybe they can afford because housing is getting so expensive. Integrating that back into the city is probably the best idea that I could think of. It would give some more local downtown housing that would be close. It would expand some of the commerce area out that way. Yeah. And if you slice it up correctly into the smaller blocks that were historical patterns in Bloomington, you will be able to increase the commerce down there. You, yeah, will make it opportunities for people to run small businesses. It will be it could be a very wonderful, vibrant area as opposed to some monolithic idea.
Once the hospital leaves that site, goes to its new site right off the bypass, that's going to affect development in that whole area there.
It's really a concern. I think that building the new hospital is great.
Yeah.
But it's a concern because I drive on the bypass every day, going back and forth to my job. And when I leave my house, because I live in Park Ridge East, it is already Even some of the construction traffic on it is making it much more clogged and much more delayed. So I think that campus area and the medical part of it with IU, I think that's in training new medical people and nurses and doctors. We need more nurses, definitely. What a wonderful thing. I think it's great. I think that's a great area that IU's getting into. It's fabulous. I'm concerned about the impact on the traffic patterns. I'm concerned about how are we going to get, if there's an emergency and the ambulance needs to go down the bypass at rush hour, how are they going to get there? I'm really concerned about that. And I don't know if we on the city council, if I'm on the city council, I don't know how much we can influence that at this point. I don't know, but that's a concern. And some of the areas that, around it that are going to be they're going to be occupied by related services, you know, I think that's probably good. I'm a little worried about the fact that I don't want it to knock down the old farmhouse there. Which has recently been a maple festival. Daisy Garten, that's wonderful. Right. I don't want it to knock things down and not preserve that. So I think there's a lot of issues to think about with that development.
How are you going to deal with the constituency if you get elected?
Well, I believe District 3 should have some robust representation on a city council. I would commit to having regular listening sessions. I will commit to having an open and transparent government and be open about whatever we're doing on a city council. And I would like to be able to help city residents stay informed about city initiatives and activities that affect our neighborhoods.
Where would these listening sessions be?
Throughout the districts. I would love to have one in each one of the precincts.
Remote locations.
Remote locations. Yeah. It would seem easy to have, like I did at the for Blooming Foods, we had the Kmart sessions at the library in Blooming Foods. Right. We could go to Matlock Heights or Eastern Heights and stop at somebody's house, or we could have in a clubhouse. Gentry Estates has a clubhouse there. We could have a listening session in there and basically have a cup of coffee with somebody and let them tell me what they're thinking.
In other words, you're going out to them rather than them coming to you.
I would like to. I think that's the way to do it.
If someone wants to get in contact with the Ron Smith campaign, how do they do it?
Go to Facebook, Ron Smith for City Council 2019.
All right.
And send me a message.
That was Bloomington Common Council District 3 candidate Ron Smith speaking with Big Talk's Michael Glab. Full episodes of Big Talk air Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. right here on WFHB.
Support for WFHB comes from Lauren Wood Builders. Lauren Wood Builders is a family-owned company that sources local materials and local craftsmen to minimize environmental impact and sustain community. More information is available online at laurenwoodbuilders.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring audio profiles of local volunteers who stand up for what they believe in, spark change, and create meaningful impact in our community. We invite you to get to know some of these volunteers through their inspiring stories of service.
Hi, I'm Leslie Cook, and I volunteer with Bloomington Lacrosse Incorporated. I've been involved for, I think this is my fourth season. I started out as an assistant coach for the first 2 years, and then when the head coach wanted to step down, I stepped up into the head coaching position. So Bloomington Lacrosse Inc. is a chapter nonprofit 501c3 organization. They support 5 different teams in Bloomington. I'm the head coach for the Bloomington Pride girls lacrosse team. We're a high school club team that services girls from Bloomington North High School and South High School. So that's why we're called the Pride, because both of those teams have big cats as their mascots. I originally said yes just because I played lacrosse in high school, and I also played at Purdue for their club team. And I just knew the effect that athletics had on my life and how much I loved lacrosse, and saw that there was a team down here that could use some help, and just decided to jump into it. My coaching philosophy is very much that I just want the girls to have a safe place to come and grow and develop into a confident person through the sport of lacrosse. Within the past 3 years, we have won the Spirit of the Game Award 2 times. And that's an award that is nominated by the referees in the state to a program in Indiana that exemplifies the spirit of the game of lacrosse. The Warehouse, actually, they've been really gracious to us, allowing us to practice there during their open hours. We wanted to give back to them this past spring because they were so good to us. So they have an Easter egg hunt that they do every spring, and they needed help filling all of these eggs. So we took half a practice one day and just filled eggs with candy. It's nice to see that the girls are also giving back to their community. This will be my 4th year, so the girls that are seniors were freshmen when I first started coaching. And so being able to see them grow and develop into more confident people, it's been amazing to see how they've grown over the past 4 years. And just knowing that I've been a part of that growth is, I mean, that's what keeps me involved and motivates me. So if I was to say that I was being selfish at any point throughout this whole process, it's that I feel like I am also growing from the experience. So when I first started out, I actually didn't do a very good job my first year at coaching. And the head coach at the time, she is in the education realm of the world. And so she really, really helped me learn how to coach and not to just dictate. And so I've seen a huge improvement in my own abilities to coach people. And I actually take that lesson into my day-to-day job. I feel like my problem-solving abilities have increased. I feel a lot more confident around groups of people, presenting in front of parents like that. I mean, that level of confidence has really grown the past few years. And just being creative, like if a practice isn't going well and I need to totally switch up what I'm doing, then I have to do that. And I have to completely learn, you know, be on the fly with it and super flexible. And then I tell the girls this, you know, whatever you are passionate about, even if you're not really sure if you're passionate about it, but you have a little bit of an inkling that you are, just try it. Try it out. I mean, don't hold back just because you're scared about it. You have to just give it a shot and try it. So try and find a volunteer opportunity and see what happens. Thanks for listening. I'm Leslie Cook, and I volunteer with Bloomington Pride Girls Lacrosse.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to inspire, engage, and connect individuals to their community. Listen to episodes of Activate online at WFHB.org. You can read more about the profile, see photos, and connect to featured organizations and causes. And visit BloomingtonVolunteerNetwork.org to discover even more opportunities to serve, give, and advocate. Get inspired. Inspire others. Activate in your community. For WFHB Community Radio and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin, Cade Young, and Sarah Vaughn in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Michael Glab.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Kevin Oliver. Our theme music is provided by Ben Lumsdain, Scott Schmadeke, and Danny Graff. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Aaron Wagermiller.
And I'm Benedict Jones. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news at WFHB.org.
Stay tuned for KiteLine, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. That's coming up next, right here on WFHB.